For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. In the Old Testament, the words used in the title Mighty God imply a hero, a God who is mighty to save. But unlike the heroes of movies and comics, God's love is unfailing, and his grace reaches into the deepest darkness to rescue us from our sins. Come, experience the difference Jesus makes.
Experience the difference that Jesus makes. That's really what we're wanting to think about today. As we encounter God's word during this time, mighty God, what a wonderful theme that we have. We talked first about our We shared this passage from Isaiah 9:6 earlier. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, it says in Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, in the year 2020, life for the world has been shifted to a new way of living due to coronavirus, COVID-19. This virus has infiltrated all of our societies and our cultures worldwide. It's changed our normal ways of human interaction, of communion, and of fellowship with one another. So we want to think about managing our new normal, because this is a very contagious virus. We know that now. It spreads by human touch, by airborne particles. It's changed our practices of connection to a way of interacting that we call social distancing. This means we have to stay 6 feet apart, even with a mask on. We can no longer shake hands, give high fives or fist bumps, or even hug. And I, for one, really miss those hugs. As does Bobby, as do others. We started doing what is called elbow bumping in some circles. I never quite caught on to that one. How unwelcoming is that? We have this new normal for greeting one another. Now, we started this adventure at the end of March with a large-scale stay-at-home order, quarantined to our homes for weeks, unable to go out to work, no permission to go to social events or sports events, theater, entertainment events, and other enjoyable gatherings for fear of spreading the virus. We experienced work stoppages on all levels except those who were considered essential workers. Working from home became the workplace norm to stop the spread of the virus. There's an atmosphere of uncertainty in most all sectors of society, in all communities, at all income levels, and among all cultures. Flatten the curve is a term that we've all heard a lot. We didn't used to know what that might be all about. They're about our efforts to prevent a large number of hospitalizations or deaths, and governors, mayors, and health officials like never before have been exercising their authority over us in roles as protectors of the vulnerable. And now the stay-at-home order is back. Why? We never did flatten the curve, unless you think flat straight up is a good flat. I don't think so. Well, later on, I'm going to share some numbers that are going to help you know why it's needed. But where is God? That's a common question for those who are struggling along right now. In this experience in 2020 of the virus, our pandemic, even we might say our modern plague, it's had many of us searching for answers and asking the questions, where is God in this? What is he saying? What is God going to do? The church itself is challenged by having normal worship experiences and Bible studies replaced with online worship experiences and small group meetings on Zoom. Some have called this virtual church or virtual worship, as if we all put on computer gaming goggles to enter the made-up reality World of Warcraft or something. This has been a challenge to people of faith. The church at times has felt powerless. It was a challenge to our faith and our walk with God. But you know what? I don't buy the idea that our worship is virtual. I believe it has just changed. I believe that online worship is, like we're doing today, is still real worship. Together, as long as we first look to God as the one who is taking all of these electrons and stirring them into his special mix that we call online worship, it is still just as real as a phone call to our loved ones. But it's different than how we like to do church. As we prepare to celebrate this Christmas season, we need to take this great opportunity and really celebrate the coming of our Savior. After all the experiences of 2020 and the virus that is still changing our traditional and social norms, the experience of celebrating the coming of our King Jesus can be a welcome shift. So our theme is experiencing the world changer. And our text is the prophet Isaiah's early birth announcement, 700 years before Christ, of the coming Jesus. The first advent is described here in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Today, Christians believe that this child is Jesus Christ, whose birth we remember at this season. In this second week of our sermon series, Experiencing the World Changer, we're going to examine how Jesus, our mighty God, changed and is changing the world. We spoke about him as a wonderful counselor last week, and today about him as a mighty God. Now, the biblical word used for mighty God implies a hero, a God who is mighty to save. But unlike the heroes of movies and comics, God's love is unfailing. His grace reaches into the deepest darkness, and he can rescue us from our sins. Isaiah speaks of the coming of Jesus in two ways, of his humanity. Unto us a son is given, a son being born, and second, of his deity. This one who will uphold all things. See, this next part of the text speaks of the second coming as he is in full control. The government will be on his shoulders, announcing Jesus' reign as King of Kings and Lord over all. But the truth is, he's Lord over all right now. It's just people don't give him his due. The rest of the verse describes his personal glories by which we begin to experience our Savior in his deity. This wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this everlasting Father, this Prince of Peace. This is a welcome gift to us in this journey that we've been on so far in 2020. And that's because we really need a mighty hero. This has been such an unexpected journey of uncertainty, of overwhelming emotional swings, of doubt, of fear, of an end of anxiety. We need our mighty God to act as our hero, to guide us through these tumultuous times of feelings and emotions. We need a mighty God as a gift during this season, after all that we've experienced and all that we have been through and all that we still face. Isaiah called him Mighty God. We can experience Jesus as our mighty God, our mighty hero, in many wonderful ways. He's wonderful in his creative power with the Father that was even before the foundation of the world. He is wonderful in his birth. He is wonderful in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, and wonderful in his ascension to sit at the right hand of the Father on high, who puts all things under his feet. He is our mighty hero, as our Savior, our Redeemer, and as our friend. He is mighty because through him we have access to eternal life. He is a mighty God, a true hero to have overcome sin and death and hell and the grave. A mighty God, as Isaiah uses it in the text, represents Jesus as the omnipotent and supreme ruler. He has unlimited authority and influence. Talk about a superhero. The mighty God comes to us as the Messiah, the anointed one, in the incarnation of our hero Jesus Christ, who always was, now is, and always will be fully God. God in all his wisdom, God in all his power, God in all his might, God in all his infinite goodness, God in all his infinite grace, and in all his mercy. The God who has neither beginning nor end of days, who existed from eternity past and who will exist into eternity future. Christ had and has the power, all the power of God. All of God's strength, all of God's ability, and all of God's might, because he was and is God. And that's our real mighty hero, ascended in heaven, free of his earthly constraints as he walked this earth. He now is able to exercise full authority. Whatever God can do, Jesus can do, because he is God. And so as we get excited about this verse, for unto us a child is born, the reason why is it's that Jesus is our mighty hero. Now, he will be mighty for us in our emotionally weakened state, in our government, and as our strength. He sits at the right hand of the Father, saying, not guilty for the accusations the enemy makes at the children of God. So who is this mighty God? This is the mighty God who comes to exercise unlimited authority. We have a glimmer in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. So some shepherds who were tending their sheep in the fields were suddenly awakened and given a show in the skies above them like no one has ever seen before or since. An angel appears to the night watchman announcing the birth of the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. And then everyone was awakened, and as the sky was filled with the heavenly host, the thunderous reality of so many angels singing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Actually saying, not singing, we always use that word, singing. But you know what? Even for them to say it, even for them to repeat it, would have been music to our ears. There's an old African worship chorus that has three simple truths repeated that say so much, thinking about these things. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Sing it with me if you can. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him, what a mighty God we serve. You see, this child that was born in Bethlehem was already the darling of the heavenly hosts. They knew who he is. They were looking forward to what he could do for humanity. They knew this baby's birth was worthy of the highest expression of praise to God. Why is that? What does it mean that our mighty God comes with unlimited authority? See, our mighty God, our hero, comes to deliver his people from the things that bring bondage to us. Our mighty God, our hero, comes to lift the weight of discouragement that causes us to feel helpless and powerless. These are times when we need to seek the one who has unlimited authority and power to help us. Dealing with our problems can be difficult and very complex. 2020 brought some major stress and uncertainty to our lives. It even brought stress and uncertainty to the lives of those we may rely on at times to help us. We need someone to help us sort through our issues, our problems, our confusion, our hurt, our pain, our troubles, our mix-up and our mess-ups. We need our mighty hero's help. Sometimes we need just to sort things out because it all seems like a storm with wind, rain, waves, and unsettledness like the disciples encountered on the lake. They cried out to the Lord, as the record reads in Mark 4, 35 to 41. There are times we need a mighty God who can show up and understand our problems and give us a workable, practical solution to bring resolve and peace of mind. However strong we may be, our physical strength does not compare to the strength of our mighty hero God. There are no humans that have all the answers to the problems of our bodies, minds, and souls. The mighty God comes in with unlimited authority to do what it takes to give us a path to victory. Jesus, the mighty God, is the hero our world so desperately needs. The birth of Jesus, mighty God, is definitely a world changer moment. Our mighty God, the one Isaiah announced, is the one who can help us through the difficulties of this life. He has all the right answers, just at the right time, and just when we need them. In this mighty God, we have someone who cares because he understands. Jesus understands every problem, every temptation, every difficulty we face. He's touched by our infirmities. And as we read Peter's words in 1 Peter 5, 7, we hear this, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. We can know that he cares for us. We can cast our cares on him. He loves us so much. We don't have to carry the weight of our worry, the weight of our guilt, our fear, our family, our finances, or any other thing that's wearing us down. He loves us so much that we can trust him to see us through any difficulty. Paul tells us a little bit about how to manage this in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow, don't be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and pleading, let your requests be brought before our mighty God. This mighty God with unlimited authority operates for our good. He has given us a gift, the best Christmas gift you can ever receive. He can be a mind regulator and a soul regulator and emotion regulator. At times it seems like life issues have made us lose our minds, but in him and by his Spirit, our minds can be at peace because he is our mighty hero God. The mighty God is the one who can bear the weight of the world on his shoulders. Isaiah states in the text, and the government will be on his shoulders. Sometimes it seems like we're carrying the whole world on our shoulders. We don't have to. Whether globally or in our country, in our local area, what happens around us affects us. How real has this been for us in 2020 as we are part of a global pandemic? It affects us in a very stressful way quite often. It feels like the weight of the world sometimes. It feels like we'll never crawl out from under it. Dealing with the virus makes for many a very stressful, tension-filled, and mind-challenging time. And we are not nearly over it yet. You want to hear some nasty numbers? Well, here it is. Worldwide, there are 67 million cases. There are 1.5 million deaths. I just looked this up last night because for me, this concern over the rate of illness and death that's caused by this pandemic makes me want to consume whatever information I can. And these numbers are astounding. Now, when it comes to COVID-19, I want you to know that the United States is definitely a world leader because we have more people infected and more deaths than any other single country in the world. any other country in the world. We have 15 million cases. We have 290,000 deaths. As of Saturday evening, these numbers are staggering. Now, I saw those numbers and I wanted to try and make some sense to us. Well, here's one way to look at it. In the United States, out of the total population of over 328 million, one out of 22 people have or had COVID-19. One out of 1,200 people have died. That's a portion of our entire population. If you know, if you've ever met 1,200 people, then one of those has probably died. This is five times the rate of death and infection worldwide. That is shocking. Our infection rate and our death rate is hard to digest if you don't think with more than one or two zeros behind a number, which I know is true of many. But here's the trouble. The projections are even worse. Even worse, the projections for the 1st of April 2021 will be almost twice as many deaths as we have now. Over 500,000 in the United States, even with as many people as possible vaccinated. Of course, you can just say you're tired of it, and you can just say, I'm not going to worry anymore. Everybody's going to get sick anyway. And if you let the restrictions go too fast, if you throw away the mask and don't worry about social distancing and whatever else, the projection is that you can add another 230,000 people that will die in the United States, making it 750,000 in just our nation, and an extra 800,000 deaths across the world, even with the vaccines, if you don't pay attention to the other things. Now, there's a difference that the mask makes. If everyone would wear a mask and take care of those things we've been talking about for these 8 months, we could save 500,000 lives worldwide. We can save 50,000 lives in the United States by April 1st of next year. Now, even with vaccines, we can't let our guards down. We're dealing with a dangerous and deadly virus we cannot see, but we have some power in our hands to slow the spread. Wash your hands, wear a face mask, keep your distance. You have it in your power to make a difference. Now, I know I don't help anybody's stress level with the numbers. They're easily available on the internet from the Centers for Disease Control, from covid19.healthdata.org and other sites with scientifically derived data. But I want you to know that you don't have to bear the stress of that. You don't have to bear the worry of that. You need to do what you can to make a difference yourself. But it is really our mighty God who is our hero, who bears the weight of the world. See, that's why we need our mighty God to come in as our hero. He can bear the weight of the world. He can take authority over this pandemic, and he will. For now, be careful, stay safe, stay well. Don't stick your hand in a fire and ask God to take away the consequences. That's not how it works. After the virus, what the future looks like has changed so much. People will be trying to rebuild businesses and renew employment. How we manage our travel and our conventions will change. How we see a movie or enjoy a theme park will be different. Of course, even though we look forward to regathering for worship, even church and our family events may be quite different. We're looking for answers to how the world around us is affecting our lives and the lives of those we love so much. The weight is real, and at times it can be overbearing. Sometimes we put on our best game faces and try to just push through and put a good spin on it, but other times the tears flow, we drop our heads in our hands, or just lie on the bed praying for an answer. But our mighty God is not overwhelmed. You need to know that. God already knows how and when this difficult season will come to an end. I found the confirmation of this unexpectedly in the passage we studied on Wednesday night from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. It says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Now, after a little while, that's comforting to me, because God's after when our mighty God will restore, strengthen, and rebuild our foundations is coming. We don't know what his little while is, but we know his after is coming. It's then when we will discover more strength. When you read 1 Peter 5, 8 to 10, you'll see that our enemy wants to devour us, that the whole world is suffering through this like we are right now, and God is not surprised. Mighty God has not lost control. Our hero is still in charge. From the passage in Isaiah 9, 6, we see there's an answer for us. In "to us a son is given." It is in the mighty God, allowing him to carry the weight, to lift the burden, to release the pressure, and remove the heavy load whenever we need help, because the weight of the world becomes too much. We need a hero to lighten the load. We need the mighty God. So instead of being in a panic, take heart from Matthew 6, 8, where Jesus says, "Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Mighty God, our hero, already knows what we need. No matter how strong we are, no matter how mature we are in the faith, no matter how much we pray or read the Word of God, there are times when the weight is too much, and we need the mighty God. When we need advice, when we are searching for answers, it's good to have family to talk to. It's good to have friends we can call. It's good to have mentors to be able to connect with, but even they can let us down and may not have the answer we need. That's why I'm so glad we have the one we know as Jesus, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, our hero who will always be there and can never let us down. There's not a day, an hour, a minute, or a second that he doesn't know what you need. And so because of that, we can rely on the mighty God who comes to guide my path, your path. Mighty God is a supreme ruler who's all-powerful to influence not just what's going on in our lives, but his power stretches out to the whole universe. Isaiah is making this announcement of the coming Savior who will be our mighty God throughout this life here on earth, no matter how difficult it is for any of us. Isaiah said, "For to us a child is born." The child is a gift from heaven, but this child is not only given to guide us through life, this child is given to guide us through life and to lead us to eternity. Isaiah said, "To us a son is given," the son of the living God, given to us as our mighty God to guide us through the steps of life, the valleys of life, the troubles of life, the pain of life, the hardships of life, the tough terrain of life, the letdowns of life, and the broken promises of this life. God sent his Son, our mighty God, to guide and help us through our life's journeys. Our ways in life are full of potholes and traps, sins and sinners. If we don't stay focused on our mighty hero God, we'll find ourselves over and over again in dire straits. But when we call out to our mighty hero God, the Son of God, our Messiah, our Christ, can move us out of our chains and out of our struggles and out of our pits and set us free. Christ can free the sinner and the one in pain. He's the answer for the person abused and for the abuser. He's the answer for the spouse who's been cheated on and for the one who has been unfaithful. He's the answer for the abandoned child and for the mother or father that has abandoned. He is the answer for the family who has lost a loved one in a drunk driving accident and for the drunk driver that took that life. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we may die to sins and live to righteousness, by whose wounds you were healed." Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to those sins and live for righteousness, because the wounds you have been healed. Those wounds that come upon you because of what we're going through right now. But you know what? Plain old sin never stopped just because a virus came. We still need a Savior. We should look forward to all our encounters with the world changer, because he can change your world right now. Jesus Christ can do it. There's still work for us to do. There's still a message of hope from our mighty hero to share. There's still reflection on our own lives that we need to do and to be more in the place that God wants us. But Jesus is the whole package. He is the mighty hero God. It brings us to the thought, though, are we who we really want to be this Christmas? What do we need to do to prepare for the King of Kings in our own lives? His Spirit is a spirit of power. His love operates in a mighty way through the life of the believer. For this mighty God, our mighty hero, can change us and give us the power to love, the power to forgive, the power to trust, the power to overcome fear, the power to endure, the power to be more than a conqueror, the power to have hope for tomorrow, the power to have joy, unspeakable joy, because the mighty God, the mighty hero God, comes to our rescue. I'm thankful today for the early announcement the prophet Isaiah gave in this text 700 years before Christ. And between that pronouncement and the coming of Christ, Israel was devastated and taken over and destroyed, and the temple knocked down and had to be later rebuilt. But these words of hope and these words of peace were given for that time and given for our time. I'm thankful today for this, because we need this mighty God to lead us through this journey of life here on earth. We need this mighty God to prepare us for the journey of eternal life. The season of Christmas, after all we've experienced in 2020, I'm so thankful for the gift of Jesus as my mighty God and all that he is to me. I'm so thankful for how his authority leads me through the ups and downs of life when I can no longer make sense of it all and the weight of it all becomes too much to bear. I am glad to know I have a mighty hero God named Jesus the Christ. This mighty God will always be there. He'll always be there for you. If you don't know him for yourself, today, hear these words: "For to you a child is born, to you a son is given, and you no longer have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders, for he is our mighty God, to first save your soul and then walk with you through this life journey and into eternity." We're celebrating that the mighty God was born. He is the hero that clears the way to give men and women free access to God and the forgiveness of sins through his blood and through his death. This Christmas, will you experience the mighty hero, the word changer? Put your heart in his hands. You can lay all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you have it all in control. Thank you that you are not surprised. Thank you that you have given us a mighty and a wonderful and a powerful Savior in Jesus Christ. Thank you that as we share his life, we share that life with others as well. Speak through us, speak in us, speak to us, that we might take part as world changers ourselves. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.